Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 22nd day of August 2017. I'm Todd Gleason out of the office doing my civic duty today. However, this morning I did get a chance in the 11 o'clock hour to talk with four participants on the Farm Journal Midwest Pro Farmer Crop Tour. We'll talk with Chip Flory, Chip Nellinger, Brian Grady, and Matt Bennett during this half hour. We'll also get an update from the USDA crop progress reports released yesterday afternoon and check the weather forecast too with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Our term for the day is futures contract, or just futures. It is a standardized contract between two parties to buy or sell a specified asset of a standardized quantity and or quality for a price agreed upon today, the futures price, with delivery and payment occurring at a specified future date, the delivery date. The contracts are negotiated at a futures exchange, which acts as an intermediary between the two parties. The party agreeing to buy the underlying asset in the future, the buyer of the contract, is said to be long, and the party agreeing to sell the asset in the future, the seller of the contract, is said to be short. While the futures contract specifies a trade taking place in the future, the purpose of the futures exchange institution is to act as the intermediary and minimize the risk of default by either party. Thus, the exchange requires both parties to put up an initial amount of cash, the margin. Additionally, since the futures price will generally change daily, the difference in the prior agreed upon price and daily futures price is settled daily also. That's called variation margin. The exchange will draw money out of one party's margin account and put it into the other so that each party has the appropriate daily loss or profit. If the margin account goes below a certain value, then a margin call is made, and the account owner must replenish the margin account. By the way, the Chicago Board of Trade listed the first ever standardized exchange-traded forward contracts in 1864, which were called futures contracts. This contract was based on grain trading and started a trend that saw contracts created on a number of different commodities, as well as a number of futures exchanges set up around the world. And that's the definition of futures contract.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Let me take a moment now to thank you for listening to our ag programming. Thank you. I mean it. Really, thank you for listening to the programming. And just as a reminder, here's what you hear each and every business day. We start at 8:55 a.m. with the opening market report, including Aaron Curtis, Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, Ellen Dearden, and Bill Mayer. And then an update at 10:58 a.m. with five other voices, Joe Vaklevic, Greg Ginder, Merrill Crowley, Chip Nellinger, and Steve Georgie, followed up at 12:58 each and every business day with Sue Martin, and then, of course, the closing market report, including our analysts Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzalo. And we wrap up each week by recording Commodity Week on Thursday evening. You can hear it at willag.org that night or on Friday afternoon at 2:36. Oh, and don't forget that we also have a whole series of regularly scheduled analysts during the closing market report for weather. Those include meteorologist on Monday, Mark Russo, Tuesday, Don Day, Wednesday, Drew Lerner, Thursday, Mike Tenora, and on Friday afternoon, both Jim Angel and Eric Snodgrass. WillAg.org. We think it's one of the most comprehensive places that you can find information about markets and weather and agricultural news. Oh, and thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services created specifically for the cooperative's member owners to meet the needs of rural America, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, point-of-sale financing, and risk management options, helping farm families succeed today and tomorrow.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. The folks from the Farm Journal Midwest Crop Tour on tour this week, and leading the eastern leg of that tour is Brian Grady. He's with Pro Farmer. Brian is on the line now to talk about what they found first in Ohio, and then we'll catch up with what they've seen in Indiana, and he may be in Illinois by now. Hey, Brian, you've been moving fast, I bet, haven't you?
Yeah, trying to dodge rain showers. Unfortunately, that isn't the case, and we got rained on this morning. But pretty heavy rains through this portion of Indiana and into eastern Illinois, 3 to 6 inches, based on what we've talked to farmers and found out. So pretty wet so far this morning.
Tell me about the Ohio numbers you finished up with yesterday.
Yeah, we came up with a yield of just over 164.6, and that was up 10.5% from tour last. USDA on August 1 was up 7.5% from what their final was in last year. So we found a little bit more corn than what USDA did, but we measured a very immature crop, and I think to realize all that grain length that we measured, and it was grain length. The grain length was up from a year ago. Ear counts were down, and that shouldn't be surprising, given the rough spring that they had, the planting and replanting, and in some case multiple replants. The ear counts just aren't there. The grain length is, but a lot of that is immature, like I mentioned. It's going to need some time. It's going to need some rain to realize all that. If it doesn't get the time or the rain, that grain length that we measured will back off. It's harder for us to measure an immature crop than it is a mature crop.
Did things get more mature as you made your way through Indiana?
Definitely. We're seeing a much more mature crop, we're still seeing stresses. There's no doubt. They still went through the stresses early in the growing season. A lot of what we're seeing is too wet early on, and then it turned too dry, and it's not dry now. The rains came too late to help the corn crop in a lot of this area. The beans, it's going to help them late in the season here, but we'll see. But the soybean pod counts have been disappointing along my route so far, just way lower than what we anticipated. So crop was stressed and just didn't have enough moisture to set a lot of pods, would be my guess on that one.
And where did you cross the line in Indiana into Illinois? Meaning, what route are you running today?
We came across at Hoopston, Illinois, and so we're making our way right now through the Iroquois County area and kind of zigzagging our way, and we'll make our way down to Bloomington tonight.
I'll bet you've seen some really good crops and then some really variable based on probably wet conditions in that area.
Yeah, like I said, really wet right now. Too wet early on, turned too dry, and now it's really wet, standing water in some of these locations. And the two corn samples we've taken so far out of Iroquois County have been disappointing. Chip back and not enough grain length. It's really pulling back the yield. And in one of the fields we were in, just didn't have the ear counts either because of the early season wetness just didn't allow enough plants to emerge.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you hopefully again tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, Todd.
Pro Farmer's Brian Grady is leading the eastern leg of the Farm Journal Midwest Crop Tour. Also on that leg, but a different route, is Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. Hey, Chip, thanks for being with us. I take it you're in Livingston County in Illinois. Is that correct?
That is correct. We've kind of been on a northern route. We came through northern Indiana, kind of Fort Wayne down to Indianapolis, and then picked up their kind of northern Indiana and came across generally Route 24. And we're currently just just east of Chenoa.
Oh, wow. If you stay on Route 24, you'll be able to stop by home there in Morton, Illinois, or get pretty close.
Getting close.
I bet you get just to wave. So tell me about Ohio to begin with, and then what you saw in Indiana today.
Well, generally, our route, the northern route, has been pretty poor. There were some pretty poor stands of corn and yield counts on our particular route in Ohio. Got a little bit better as we got into Indiana, but still would be well below average as we made our way into northern Indiana, like through Rensselaer and then across 24 in Illinois. Subpar corn yields over here too. Just not seeing the populations, some tip back. So I would say that, you know, these yields over here compared to what, for sure, compared to a year ago and average, you know, would be 30 to maybe as much as 50 bushels, below what they would be used to, in this area. Pod counts as we moved into, Indiana and Illinois were decent. Pretty good pod counts were coming across on this trip in Illinois. So it's we drove through some rain today, so they just received some rain, you know, across that part of northern Indiana and central Illinois here. So you know, very varied. I would say that's the highlight of the tour is high variability. But we're waiting to find the good corn here in Illinois, and we haven't yet on this route.
On the bulk of the problems that you have seen, have they been caused by the wetness early on, planting date, or was it the heat? You talked a little bit about tip back during the nick, or is it a combination of both?
I think it's a combination. It's really late planting in Ohio and across, you know, northeastern Indiana. Really late planting. In fact, there was one field that we started to go in that was actually pollinating. I mean, it had nothing in the husks yet. So that tells you how late some of that corn in Ohio was. I'd say in Illinois, we had some population issues. There's probably, you know, I don't know whether that was causing some of this tip back. We have seen some, not severe tip back, but some tip back as we moved, you know, further west into Illinois.
Hey, thanks so much, and good luck on the rest of the tour.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Chip Nellinger. He's with Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. He's traveling on the eastern leg of the Farm Journal Midwest Crop Tour in the state of Illinois today. On the western leg and leading that tour is Chip Florey from Market Rally Radio, along with Pro Farmer. He's somewhere, I think, in Nebraska. Is that right, Chip?
Yeah, that's right. We're about 25, 30 miles west of Beatrice, Nebraska, down in the southern part of the state. Making our way across here, and we're starting to see some of the effects of lack of rain down here in the southeast part of the state, no question about it.
What'd you put on yesterday's South Dakota crop as a final number?
Yeah, we came back on corn at 147.97, so 148. That's down 1.2% from last year's tour results. Now, where we were is very important to understand, Todd, because where we were, if there's any spot in the state of South Dakota that you can call good or okay, it would be where the tour ran. You get a little bit further north outside of the tour area, you get further west, and you start to run into some of those drought conditions that have been so well documented this year in South Dakota. We do have one route that got far enough west to get into that drought area. And they saw some pretty tough corn, you know, some 50, 60 bushel corn. We did have one route that got far enough north that they started to get into the drought area to the north of Sioux Falls. Saw some corn that was in that 100, maybe 110 bushel range. So we know that it's not as good outside of the tour area in South Dakota. So USDA was down 13% on August 1. It's really kind of hard to argue with that number right now, Todd. It really is. On our bean pod counts in the 3x3 square, we came back at 900. That was down 7.3% from a year ago. USDA's yield on August 1 was down 17.2. So, again, we were in the good area. It was reflected in the beans. But even at that, Todd, the bean crop isn't what it was a year ago.
Right. And what'd you see today in Nebraska?
Yeah, we made our way through northeast Nebraska yesterday. The bean pod counts really didn't recover too much, although the beans were a little bit better developed in those in the Nebraska cornfields or Nebraska bean fields. On the corn side of things, the irrigated corn, Todd, was good, but it wasn't great. Dryland corn, it was okay, but it wasn't great. Really hard to make an assessment on what we saw yesterday in Nebraska. Today, as we're making our way from Grand Island over to Nebraska City, we're getting into more of the dry land area, the traditional dry land area. And as a result, the stress is really starting to show up. Basically, from Hebron over to between Hebron and Beatrice is where we're really starting to see the drought conditions show up in the dry land corn.
Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again maybe tomorrow.
Sounds good, Todd. Sounds good.
That, of course, is Chip Flory. He is with Pro Farmer Market Rally and leading the western leg of the Farm Journal Midwest Crop Tour. Also out there is Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds. And where are you traveling to today, Matt? He's on the line with us.
Yeah, so we drove south out of Grand Island. And I don't know, we ended up south of the interstate, maybe 30 miles or so, and basically heading due east the rest of the day. And so we started out with four irrigated fields, and we actually were pretty disappointed. The best yield we found was 200. You know, the thing is we found a lot of big ears this morning, and it really looked like the field was in great shape, a lush green color when we walked up on it, but we just didn't get good ear counts anywhere that we've been. We've been in a couple of dry land fields, and you know, they've been 130 to 150. So I've seen worse for the second day on the Nebraska part anyway.
And have you made your way into Iowa by now then?
No, we won't go into Iowa until tomorrow. Actually, Iowa gets split up between Wednesday morning and then, or Wednesday all day. And then, Thursday morning, they end up there in Rochester, Minnesota.
So what you've seen in Nebraska, how would you categorize that particular crop in comparison to previous years?
I would say it's, you know, maybe off just a little bit compared to some of the years. Generally speaking, we run into some 220s to 240s on the irrigated. I really haven't seen but one yield that was 220 and above. And so I've been a little disappointed, I guess, with the top end. I think that we haven't seen a lot of really horrible corn by any means, but we just really haven't seen a consistent, really good yield from the irrigated. And a lot of it has to do with A, variability, and B, ear count.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. He's traveling on this year's Farm Journal Midwest Crop Tour. You can learn more about the tour on our website at willag.org, willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here at the U of I in Urbana-Champaign, to talk about his latest work for the FarmDoc website. It's entitled Assessing Prospects for the 2017 Corn Production. Thanks, Todd, for being here. Let's start with the USDA numbers to begin with. Where do they stand?
The USDA's got national average corn yield at 169.5 bushels. And they've maintained their planted and harvested acres from the June acres report. So there's been really no change in the acreage numbers from the June acreage report level. What we're seeing as we move through the rest of the year is if we're going to get any kind of change in corn production, it's really going to be from the yield side. The Farm Service Agency released the report on prevent planting and planted acres, and you know, prevent planting is not high. It's lower for corn acreage than it has been the last few years. And, you know, that might grow as we move through the rest of the year. But basically, we're on pace for the harvested acreage that the USDA is currently projecting. So it really comes down to what's the corn yield going to be this year? And is that 169.5 too high?
And as you report, the decline from August has been lower in nine of several of the last years. exceeding 2 bushels in 6 of those 9 years. The 2010 and 2011 crop years in particular, you make note that the August forecast declined relative to the final yield estimate by 12.4 and 6.2 bushels. Why are those years important to you?
Well, to me, they're important because the last few years, the USDA's August forecast has been within a bushel of the final forecast. So you're starting to think, well, is this 169.5 right? And in 2010 in particular, I think we had a lot of pollination problems that year. So the idea that the yield deteriorated from August to September, September to October, October, November, it just kept going down to the final number. And this year, it sort of feels like in a lot of places, like Iowa, parts of Illinois, Indiana, we might be under a similar kind of scenario, maybe some pollination issues based on, you know, some of the crop tour reports I've heard from different places. We've seen yield totals down significantly. And in those major producing states, you know, the question is this another year like that? Did the USDA miss high in August? I think they're high, but I don't think they're 12 bushels high. I'm not even sure they're 6 bushels high. Right now, I'm thinking around 166 to 167 is where I see it falling out when we get to the final yield number, but it could be lower. And based on the ending stocks we're carrying out this year and the projected use for next year, you know, we would need a significant yield reduction to start thinking about, you know, demand rationing in any way. We're probably going to carry out more than 2.3 billion bushels of corn this year. So while we're looking at marketing, this could be a real tough marketing year for corn. And there's some carry in the market, you know, through May and July. But right now I feel like it's time to sit tight and see what that yield number is in September. Because if it does come down substantially, we may see deterioration through the next few reports. And if so, that's going to change the price trajectory for corn through the 17-18 marketing year. If they don't, I can't imagine the yield going up, and I haven't heard anybody say anything like that. So even if they don't come off of it very much, I think the price is now pretty much built in this lower yield number than was expected by the trade. So as we move forward through the year, you know, if you need to get rid of some old crop, if you're thinking about marketing your new crop, you haven't forward priced it yet, if you can wait, I think it might be a good idea.
That's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find more from him on the Farm Doc Daily website. Now let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Don Day is here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. A little rainfall in Illinois and Indiana. Tell me about that, please.
Yeah, we've had a couple of systems come on through, and it's gone right across many areas of the central and western Corn Belt. Fairly quick moving showers and thunderstorms, but good rain producers as well. We've got several locations that picked up an inch, inch and a half, a few isolated locations that got more than 2 inches of rain. This system may be followed by another system that will affect some of the western areas of portions of Nebraska and portions of Iowa again. However, the trend after this next batch of showers and thunderstorms is going to be a little bit drier for the areas that are getting rain right now.
In total, how much rainfall do you think in those driest areas, and maybe for the state of Iowa on a diagonal from the northwest to the southeast, might they get
well,
over the series?
You know, I don't know if we're going to see as much rain with this next batch as we've seen with the last one, but I think many areas are headed towards a half inch to an inch and a quarter along that area, of course, with thunderstorms. You're going to have some varying amounts.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Don Day with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. When we come back, we'll take a look at the crop progress conditions across the Midwest right here on willag.org.
It's National Pecan Tort Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1647, Dennis Pepin was born. He invented the pressure cooker. A safety valve of his own invention prevented explosions. Pepin also conceived of the use of steam to drive a piston in a cylinder, the basic design for early steam engines. In 1865, William Shepherd of New York City received a patent for liquid soap. The proportions given were to dissolve 1 pound of common soap in water or steam and then add 100 pounds of ammonia such that the liquid thickens to the consistency of molasses. Shepherd expected the product would be useful for both domestic and manufacturing purposes. In 1867, Charles Francis Jenkins was born. An inventor, he is best known as an early television pioneer, but he also invented the cone-shaped drinking cup. And in 1939, the first U.S. patent was issued for a disposable whipped cream aerosol container. Julius S. Kahn's patent was titled "An Apparatus for Mixing a Liquid with a Gas" and was specifically concerned with making whipped cream using an ordinary soda bottle. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com. Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey, empowering individuals with financial education through their Resource Center. For online calculators, planning checklists, and articles, visit Busey.com. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Much needed rain fell throughout the state of Iowa during the week ending August 20th, 2017. Topsoil moisture levels in south central and southeast Iowa remained over 90% short to very short. Subsoil moisture levels rated 56% short to very short, 44% adequate, and 0% surplus. 78% of the corn crop was in or beyond the dough stage, 1 week behind last year. 21% of the corn crop has reached the dent stage, 1 week behind last year, and 5 days behind the 5-year average. 61% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. 88% of soybeans were setting pods, 4 days behind last year, but equal to average. Soybean condition improved slightly to 58% good to excellent. I am Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week's weather was dry across much of Illinois. Most locations received 1/2 inch of rain or less, except for southern parts of the state, where rainfall totals exceeded the average for the week. Soybeans are setting pods on 92% of acres, compared with 88% 1 year ago and 87% for the 5-year average. 4% of acres are turning color, compared to 2% last year and also 2% normally. The condition of soybeans in Illinois was rated 12% very poor to poor, 28% fair, and 60% good to excellent, a decline from 1 week ago. For corn in Illinois, 91% of acres are in the dough stage or beyond, compared to 88% 1 year ago and 87% for the 5-year average. 41% of acres have reached the dent stage, compared to 44% last year and 46% normally. The condition of the corn crop was rated as follows. 14% of acres are in very poor to poor condition, 32% are fair, and 54% are in good to excellent condition, also a decline from 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reminding all ag producers that the Census of Ag is coming this December.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Another dry week has kept irrigation systems running regularly to reduce some of the stress on crops. Corn was 80% in dough, compared to 82% last year and 77% 5-year average. Corn was 40% dented, compared to 41% last year and 34% 5-year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 56% in the north, 50% in central, and 51% in the south. Soybeans were 86% setting pods, compared to 87% last year and 88% 5-year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition were 58% in the north, 51% in central, and 51% in the south. Continued dry and hot weather increased stressors on corn and soybeans, especially in sandy soils and areas without irrigation. The presence of rust remained prevalent in cornfields, along with ear rot and Diplodia stalk rot. Soybeans grown in sandy soils began to whiten in the afternoons from the heat. Growers reported that weeds are still growing strong across the state. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending August 20th, 2017. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.